Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to a special episode of Soul in the City. My name is Chastity Reynolds, and I'll be your guest host for tonight. Tonight, we have a very special topic. We call the show The Life and Times of Miss Independence. Since the introduction of the Civil Rights Act of 1964, African American women have had an unfounded opportunity to expand their potential and build on their academic success. As a matter of fact, according to the National Bureau for Educational Statistics, African-American women, or the number of doctoral degrees earned by African-American women, has increased by 7% between 1999 and 2009. Moreover, of the bachelor's degrees earned by African-Americans, 65.9% of them are owned by African-American women. Although these statistics are encouraging, there are some aspects that do need to be considered within the success. Discrimination is still very much alive, and even though we have strived to overcome it and have made such academic success, we still face many academic challenges on the road to success. Moreover, the growing disparity between the number of black men and black women who earn college degrees have often put professional black women in a situation where their romantic pursuits are sort of in limbo. A lot of people are finding it hard to find black, or a lot of black women are finding it hard to find eligible black men of similar professional status, and a lot of them are resorting to different alternatives. So tonight we'd like to discuss some of the challenges and benefits associated with education, as well as how these what implications these may hold for relationships. On our panel tonight, we have the lovely Linda Muhammad.
Hey!
We have the incredibly talented Miss Keisha Tucker.
Hello!
And then we have the incredibly sassy and classy Miss Kathy White.
Hello!
All right, we'll take a brief intermission, have some song, and then we'll be back with some lighthearted discussion.
I want to time travel no more. I want to be my
Was Window Seat by Erykah Badu. So, ladies, the first question tonight. What would you say was the biggest challenge you faced in your educational career? Starting, how about Linda?
Okay, well, I think the biggest challenge that I faced in my educational pursuit has been actually going to school after raising a family and being a mom. So just the time frame, finding the time to keep it all together and being a woman of many hats. So what would you say, Keisha?
I would really say that probably the biggest challenge was really just determining which avenue, you know, was best for me in order to achieve my goals career-wise. And then I would also say, you know, especially when I got my master's, both of them, then it was juggling working full-time and also going to school full-time. And I will say my social life was pretty much at a halt during that time because I had a goal in mind and I was focused, so.
How about you, Ms. Kathy?
I have to echo those first two sentiments. Mine was trying to raise a family while working full-time and going to school also and not having a social life and staying focused like Keisha on what the ultimate goal was. So my challenge is trying not to be all things to all people and stay focused.
And, yeah, Kathy, that's a hard thing to do is managing trying to be all things to all people because there, you know, are so many times that people expect so many things from you, you know, and then at the end of the day, you really rarely have the time for yourself to do what it is that you want to do. So that's a very difficult thing to balance, Kathy.
Well, I found myself giving up sleep in order to accomplish it.
Mm.
Yeah, and I had to echo that, too. And I think me and Keisha were talking, I think it was last weekend, I was saying, mm-hmm. you know, as I'm working on my PhD now, it's like I have to cut off sometimes things in order to get things accomplished, and I hadn't been doing that. So really being time-focused and learning to manage your time and your energies and having the fortitude to say no sometimes. Sometimes you have to shut it down and say no to people, and no is a grace word sometimes.
Absolutely.
I think it's really hard to do that when you're younger, too. There are just so many obligations that you want to fulfill. You want to try to branch out. Everyone is encouraging you to branch out and explore different options and then still maintain focus in your academic studies. And I think one of the hardest things I had to do was find that balance. I'm still not in the reins of balance. I often find myself ignoring my social life at the cost of academic success. And one of the biggest things I regret about my college experience is not getting out there. Being a junior and being almost done, it seems, I don't want to say it's too late, but I do wish that I had more social exposure in the long run than I had now. But I am getting to the point where I'm finding or trying to pursue my interests as soon as I figure out what those are.
Near the end was to incorporate fun. Mm-hmm. Just like I had to schedule everything else, I needed to schedule some fun time for myself, some let my hair down time. And then that made the process a little easier.
Yeah, I think that's important, that balance is the key.
So what do you have next for us?
Okay, so ladies, considering the context in which you grew up, you know, your parents' input, your personal aspirations, or any combination of both, historical context or anything. Considering the context in which you grew up, would you say that attending college was more of a privilege for you, or was it more of an expectation from you? Let's start with Keisha.
I would say it was more of an expectation. Both of my parents are college educated, and it was, I don't think it was never a there was ever a thought that I would do anything else but go to college. I can remember having conversations with my dad from a little girl about where I wanted to go to college at. So I really just think it was an expectation that I would go.
Okay. How about you, Miss Kathy?
It was an expectation. My mother didn't complete her college degree. She took some college courses, but she never completed. But growing up, it was always an expectation. And even though I married young, because I married at 17, at that point I had to promise my mother that I would continue my education. So that's what I did.
What about you,
Lynn?
Well, I'm going to say both because being the first person in for a long time, it was the expectation, but also I was taught that education was a privilege because not a lot of people in my family had the privilege of getting a higher education. So being the first college graduate, I kind of feel like it was a both. I felt like it was a privilege for me to pursue it. And then pursuing I've been going to school for a long time, probably for the last 25 years, on and off, not continuously, but chunking at it a little bit. You know, I had to work so hard for the time and to schedule it and the money, to find the money for education, that it was a privilege also for me.
I can really. I think for me it was more of an expectation, but it was also sort of a challenge. My sister, Tanisha Reynolds, one of the most intelligent women in this earth with, like, over 5,000 post-secondary degrees. She was the biggest inspiration for me that I could ever imagine. She always strived to achieve. She did so much in her high school career, and she did so much in her college career, and I just wanted to be just like her. So I have to say that it was an expectation for me to go to college, not just because of my parents' input, but because I wanted to be like my sister. I wanted to strive to achieve just like her. And it was almost not even a choice for me. I had to. That in mind, would you say that your educational experience was affected in any way by negative stereotypes or things associated with African Americans. Like, for me,
Hello?
Hello? Hello?
Yeah, Kathy, it's me. I can't hear Chastity.
I can't either. I think we lost connection.
Quite possibly.
I
don't know if we should call back. Yeah, she was kind of breaking up earlier, so I don't know.
And then we're having some technical difficulties that will soon be resolved. I'm going to try to call her and let her know she's not on.
I'm sorry, everyone. We had technical difficulties. Our show was disconnected. We were actually talking about the effects of stereotypes of African Americans on our educational process. And I was giving my example. Like I said before, one of the biggest influential factors for me was BET and the show College Hill. And on this show, they would have four of the most ignorant black people they could find that just adhered to every stereotype they could find. And one of the biggest things I wanted to do was to disprove that stereotype. One of my main goals in college was to use the stereotype of ignorance that enslaves our community for a not to take of what others expect us. The glory that our ancestors have set forth for us. So that was one of the biggest impactors. That's how stereotypes influenced my educational experience. Would you say that your educational experiences were influenced by anything similar?
This is Linda, just making sure we're all still there. It wasn't really about a stereotype or anything. I pursued my education because it was a personal goal. If anything, I guess in a way I could say that, but basically I think it was a desire and a goal for me personally. I do not like, you know, even taking it back to social media and those kind of things. You know, I guess in a way I do hate the portrayal of us on things like Atlanta Housewives and all of that, that, you know, all we think about is dressing nice and all of that kind of thing. But I think it was more a personal goal for me. How about you, Keisha?
I really don't think, you know, any stereotypes or negative connotations played any role in, you know, me pursuing my education. I do feel like, you know, sometimes people are surprised when you discuss your educational experience, but that's, I guess my, you know, my reasonings for pursuing were never, you know, had anything to do with that. I always do try to conduct myself appropriately in general, especially because sometimes there are negative stereotypes or connotations in the workplace or, you know, in professional organizations or, you know, other areas. But they more influence my behavior, not necessarily my pursuit of any education.
How about you, Ms. Kathy? You're still there.
I'm still here. You know, as far as getting my education, I really can't say any stereotypes impacted me there because I was too busy to focus on the negative. I was focused on getting my education, and usually in that arena, there weren't very many of us, to be honest. When there were mostly, when I did see people of color, it was mostly women, very few men. That bothered me in a sense that more of our men were in college with us, but I couldn't think about that. I don't think it came from the stereotypes, though, of us being affected.
Okay, sorry.
Sad to see if everyone's still there. Those are some really valid points. I didn't think about the second fact that you brought up. Did you say that men were rarely featured in media?
No, say that again. I didn't hear you.
All right, what was that last thing you brought up? Did you say that men were rarely, black men were rarely featured in media?
No, in the college setting, you always saw more women, and even in my courses, I always saw more women, African-American women, not men. It was rare to see a man in the college courses. Now, I think maybe in your age group, you probably see more, but in my age group, I hardly saw them.
And I have to say, and Kathy and I are pretty much in the same way, age group and going to college, there were brothers about, and they were there, but the numbers of females to the brothers that were actually in college and then those who actually finished were surprisingly decreased.
You know, that's an interesting point to bring up. Like I said before, the number of black female versus male bachelor graduates it's a completely wide gap. It'd be like 65.9% of black women versus 34.1% of black men, and that is a huge disparity. And I think it's even evident now. Honestly, when I go to classes, I really have not had that many classes with black males. In my cognitive psychology class, there's one, but really he's the only other black male that I've actually seen in my whole college career. Oh,
wow.
Do you notice anything like this?
Well, I would say my experience was probably a little bit different because I did go to an historically black college, so I did see way more black males on campus, whether they were serious and going to class and things like that. That's a different story, but we did see several in our classes. We saw them actively doing being involved in, you know, college activities, campus activities, student government. I think in my field probably there were less because I was in healthcare administration, so maybe there weren't as many going into that field. But, no, I guess I'm more used to seeing them on campus. They're probably not, you know, as many. There are probably demographically way more females at the university than males, but we would see them around.
I think that's one of the biggest benefits of going to a historically black college. You do get to be with more talented brothers and sisters just like yourself, and I do kind of wish that I had gone to a historically black college. But I do have to say that I'm pretty satisfied with my educational choice. What would you say was, like, the biggest benefit of going to HBCU?
I would say it was, I think it was some kind of way, I think it was, like, it built my confidence. I guess because, like, it wasn't necessarily like the real world because I wasn't competing with those who I compete with now in the real world, but knowing, I don't really know how it happened, but in, you know, some kind of way, I think it helped me with my confidence. There was a time, like, when I graduated college, that I could not find a job, and I think I had more resources, I had made more connections with other people to network with, and I just felt that if I had gone somewhere else, that would have been more difficult for me to handle. So I would say, you know, like, and I have several friends still, the majority of my friends that I have still are from my college years. So I think the benefit is just developing, you know, great relationships long-standing relationships with people, even professors, things like that. I would not have, you know, traded my experience from anything because it was good for me. You know, sometimes it's not for everybody. And the funny thing is my father has made the statement before that I was smart, so I probably should have gone to a white school. but to me, that really just didn't have any kind of effect on me, you know, as far as it, that had no effect on my decision, the fact that I was smart. I feel like it helped me, you know, be more confident in who I am, what I know, where I stand in my, you know, personally on all kinds of issues and beliefs. So I'm happy about my experience.
Very good. That was really striking. It almost seems as if we have doubts in our own capabilities with your father saying that, you know, you're smart, so you should go to a white school. That's pretty shocking. Have you guys ever seen any other instances of that?
Well, I think that is historically for black people that if you were smart or perceived as being smart, because I feel like we're all intelligent and gifted in our own way, but if you were perceived as being smart, you were kind of geared toward should probably go to a school that is multicultural versus going to a HBC, like probably even in my generation. What about you, Kathy? Did you get any of that?
I was listening to, I was surprised by her father's statement, but I can understand it. The colleges that I went to were, I would say we were there, but it was majority Caucasian. And I can see how being surrounded by like people would make you feel more confident because being in an arena where you were the minority, I had to struggle with my confidence, you know.
I so agree.
Versus being with they're on the same level that you can do and be free with because they understand the perspective on whence you come.
Right. I think that another related thing from my high school experience was if you were smart, if you were academically driven, if you wanted to make good grades and do well academically, you were considered as acting white by a lot of your black peers. And I went through that a lot in high school. I had a lot of that problem, and it was really hard to deal with. And I don't understand where we get this definition of blackness. Like, what if striving for academic success is supposed to be the definition of whiteness? What is our definition of blackness, or what definition of blackness is prevailing in our youth culture?
And I do feel like that's mostly with young people. If you, I just feel like even if you speak with diction and you pronounce your words, you can be considered as acting white. And so, and I think that is sort of, you know, it's that transition of, and I'm going to just go there, of, you know, when you transition from, and we all got relatives and it's probably out there for me to say, but it's the truth. You transition from being, like, growing up in the hood, hate to say it like that, and then maybe going on to get your education. Sometimes you're going to meet those people who just don't understand that, don't want to understand that. Maybe they're not doing things that they should do with their lives, so you get that you're acting white kind of thing. Have either of you ran into that, either Kathy or Keisha? Do you have any opinions or an opinion?
I think you get it more from, yes. You get it more from your family members, and I call it crabs in the barrel, you know.
Yeah.
Crabs in the barrel. They don't want to see you reach for a higher goal because they're not capable or not willing to make the sacrifices that you've made. Therefore, it's easier to target you and make you feel less than for them to step up to the plate. And I didn't get it directly from my family, but my children got it because they spoke proper English. You know, when we would come home for visit, they would get told things by their cousins, like, you're acting white or this, that, and the other, you know, just because they spoke proper English, they didn't speak slang. And with the younger two, they could care less, but the older one, he struggled with that. And I think he still struggles with it to this day, you know, because he wanted to fit in.
Well, Kathy, I would really say I don't know that I've had that, or as of right now, even with my family, you know, I think it's sometimes kind of there, but it's not mentioned. They don't talk about it. They are, you know, still very encouraging and things like that. It's just, you know, when you get mad or something like that, that's when it actually comes out. You know, that you think you know everything or something like that to that effect. I don't really get the acting white thing. I think I get the bougie thing more than acting white. And for those, of course, who don't know what bougie is out there, that is when you act like higher class black, which I don't really know necessarily what that is either, but I think that's the connotation, or, you know, that's what it's connected to, is you're acting like you high class, or, you know, like you all of that, so to speak.
Rather have shake than
urban professional. That would fit you, Keisha. Usually they call them bumpies. That's what I call them. Like, bumpies are black urban professionals. Be associated with bougie. Along with this definition of blackness, I think that might have a strong bearing on why there's such a disparity between the number of black women and black men graduating from college. Do you think that it could be that black men are more engrossed with staying, or more occupied with staying within what they believe their cultural expectations are to be, like aspiring to the standards that our media or our culture has perpetuated for black men? Academic success isn't necessarily stress for African American men in our media or our culture. So do you think that it could be because academic success isn't stressed for black men that there's such a wide disparity between the number of black women and black men graduating? Linda?
Well, you know what? I feel like even that's sort of like a stereotype, that we say that black men, and I almost hate to say it, but the numbers are the truth. I guess the numbers are showing that. But really what I feel like for black men, I feel like right now black men are just struggling to keep their head above water with lack of jobs and that kind of thing, and then it becomes a generational thing of, hey, you got to survive. And I know there's other factors that can play into that. And then I think it's that thing of a lot of black people have been reared in single-parent households, and I think I've talked about that earlier, where, you know, where I was growing up in a single-parent household, my mom really stressed for me and my sister, hey, you better go out there and get it, whether you got a man or not, you're going to have to make it happen, girl. So I became like this really independent, driven person, because whether I had a man or not, I was going to have to make it for myself. And I feel like for my brother, though, she pushed him and she also coddled him. So I think that may even have a little bit of play.
So sort of the William Lynch syndrome?
Kind of, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, and for those of us who aren't familiar with the William Lynch syndrome, in the 1800s, a slave owner named William Lynch sent a letter out to all his slave counterparts, or all of his slave-owning counterparts, giving criteria for the enslavement of the black race. His ultimate goal, or the ultimate point of his letters, was explaining that if you put the power or put empowerment in the hands of black women, then black men will be depowered and dethroned, and that this
cycle of slavery and mental slavery will persist for hundreds of years. And would anyone say that they've seen this take effect or seen it true?
Yes.
Kathy?
Or I would say that it is, but it's also starts in the early school-age training of the boys, too, because you most of the school teachers that black men experience are white. They don't see a lot of black men in the school system to teach them how to be men. And so if you're constantly telling a young black boy that he's a failure, that he can't succeed, then he grows to believe it.
And
then if you always pick that little girl up and tell her, oh, she's done great, then he buys into that, and he gets angry, and we can see the anger toward the black woman and some black men today. I'm not saying all, because there are brothers out there that value us. So they don't achieve the educational prowess that they can achieve because they have it, but they've been told so long that they don't.
Right. Do you have anything to say?
Well, that theory or those directions, they just amaze me to this day, but I still feel like it's very much so real and that it still plagues us. I've seen so many times, you know, I think we're generationally getting better about overall, the expectation for our young men and women and mothers not necessarily coddling them as much, but we still do. We raise, you know, our daughters to be independent women and, you know, to be successful, get it out on your own, by yourself, but our men, we still encourage them to do that, but there is a lot of hand-holding that goes on in the African-American community between mothers and sons. And when we stop that, then I think, I think that would be probably the best thing that we could do for our sons. And, I mean, I'm not a mother. I don't have children yet, but I've seen it in my own family. And sometimes I even have to remind my own mother that, you know, my brother, he's a man, technically, and some things he needs to take responsibility for by himself or on his own, because he'll never know what to do. He'll never know how to be responsible if you keep on doing things for him.
That's a good point. Linda, you have anything to say?
Well, I just want to agree so much with what Keisha and Kathy have said, in that I also believe that that is why it's so important for black males to be in the lives of our children, you know, positive role models, whether you're the father is in the home or not, but that really should be encouraged, because I think that's how we beat the Willie Lynch syndrome, is that we have positive role models in the lives of our children, and I think that's really important.
So we need to empower the black family as a whole. I really believe so.
So we need to.
We have to reach back to communities and help our black become men.
Mm-hmm. Right.
That's exactly right.
So with this in mind, what would you say, or would you say that the disparity between the number of black men and black women in college or graduating from college has any impact on the black woman's romantic interest? Has your educational experience caused you to seek only certain traits in a male, like similar status, or are you more open to dating experiences? Mom?
Oh, I'm mom now. Huh?
Yeah.
Okay. well, I hate that I'm the one starting this, because I sure have had experiences. You know, I have to
say that when I was younger, I was really in the professional path, and I wanted to be a, you know, a professional woman and all of that, and I did kind of pursue men, or they pursued me, that were maybe more professional, but then those relationships sometimes did not work out. And as you get older, you know, and as I got older, I really start seeing I wanted a man for certain qualities. Was he, did he have integrity? Was he going to care for me? And I think when I was younger, I mean, I wanted those things, but it was like, did he have a nice car? And I hate to say that, I was pretty superficial when I was younger. Now, as I've gotten older, those superficial qualities, they just don't seem important to me at all. It's what does he bring to the table? Does he enlighten my life? Does he compliment my life? Does he support me? And those kind of things have become a lot more important.
How about you, Keisha?
I will say I think I probably have looked for a certain kind of guy, and it's not necessarily the nice car, nice house, you know, like not necessarily looking at those material things, but, you know, I would say for me, you know, they say women a lot of times look for people that have qualities like their father. So I would say I always felt like I could have, like I was used to having a man that was educated. And so that's what I looked for, a man that was educated, like my dad. I never was so much about what he had, but I always felt like I needed to be able to take him out with me, or, you know, I need to be able to feel like he could appropriately represent himself no matter where we went to. And so I think that was probably, or that is more probably where my wanting to date a certain kind of people or a kind of guy came from. Now, as I'm getting older, I am definitely more open to dating other people that don't have a college education, things like that, just as long as you, you know, have the qualities that I'm looking for and that you're happy with what you're doing overall, because, you know, God didn't make every profession to be one that was prepped by college. So just as long as you're happy, you know, successful, or, you know, working towards success in your own right, then I think I am more open to dating you now than I probably was before.
That's a good call. How about you, Kathy?
I'm at the quality of the man. You know, he has to first have God as his head, you know, and then after that, I look at, he has to be able to hold me intellectually. He's got to be able to stimulate me.
That's a good one, Kathy.
Those are the things that I look for first and foremost, because if I just focused on the physical attributes of a man, then those things will change with time, as we have changed with time.
Yeah.
But as long as he can stimulate you mentally, we're going to make it.
That's true.
And I probably have limited myself because I love my dark skinned brothers. I'm just going to say it.
Wow. Stop it. Yes.
I like it.
I think one of the biggest things I look for in a romantic partner is motivation. You don't necessarily have to have a college degree to be an intellectual or to hold, you know, hold my attention, hold my interest, or, you know, pique my curiosity. If you have that motivational factor, and I know that you're going somewhere or you plan on going somewhere, we can work. It's more about motivation and, you know, altruism and intent than it is about material possessions for me. And although I
do kind of have a preference for college guys. I am learning to move beyond that. And I think that, you know, the quality of my relationship will eventually be better for it. So, with that in mind, what would you say, what factor of your education, or would you say that disparities in educational levels within couples would have issues with communication? Like, do you think that because a black woman might have a higher educational, a higher occupational status than her mate, that that limits communication within that couple?
I don't really think so. You know, I kind of feel like, because I had met men who maybe they didn't have a college degree, but actually, you know, you're the person I'm dating now. Although he is highly educated, he just really is a very wise and very smart man. And some men, they have learned through life experiences, they're well read, those kind of things. They're up to date on the social issues or the current events of the day. So I don't really feel like you always have to have that college degree to be a well-rounded person. I think the communication breaks down in a relationship basically because if people aren't communicating, period, that is the thing. And then I do feel like maybe for some people, if you met somebody who intellectually or motivationally wasn't where you were, that can cause some communication problems. I think money and finances is a big issue.
So would you say that, have you ever been in an instance where your man, or you know that a black man was intimidated by his woman's success?
Yes. I've been in a relationship that I felt, not always, but I felt that there were times that, that maybe because I had gotten to a certain place or I made so much money that became sort of an issue. Do any of you have any other any input on that? Since I'm in the hot seat, let's join me.
Okay, I'm going to step in this hot seat. I'm divorced now, but I think the fact that I went on to get my education played a major part in that because I married young and my mate was used to me looking up to him and hanging on his every word. But then as I started exerting myself and as a person, because I was more knowledgeable about, hey, he didn't always have the right opinion, I think that became a problem.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He saw it where he was losing control.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I think education has played a part in it in that sense. And then not being able to communicate on the same level.
Well, I will say that this question, you know, it says, I just really don't like the intimidated word. But I think it's and I mean, I do know, you know, that men can be intimidated by a woman's success. I think part of it is really we're, as a woman, you know, like we don't know. It goes back to the family, I will say, and what we've seen growing up. Or, you know, like we, as a woman, we don't necessarily know how to not be that power woman sometimes. So we're always, we like are always successful. We always have those strong personalities, those take charge personalities that we have all the time. And I think it's a challenge, I would say, to find that balance in a relationship or in your family life. To where you are willing to not be so in control and kind of tone it down at home and let the man feel like he's the man or be the man. I hate to say that too, but I think in a man sometimes just doesn't know how to take this in charge person. Or, you know, in Kathy, in your situation, you know, the woman that you were becoming, he didn't know how to make the adjustments to appreciate the person that you know, were becoming, and the knowledge and the wisdom and the education that you were gaining, and the fact that you could actually, you know, you actually had something to contribute. And I really think it, you know, comes back to the family, to the models. We haven't had enough, you know, they don't know how to take it, and we, does that make sense, what I'm saying? Especially in regards to the, I guess.
Yeah, you're coming on the use of the word intimidated and all that. I think, and you can correct me if I'm wrong on this, I think what you're saying is that when you say tone down, I don't think we need to tone down, but we need to learn how to do the dance together.
Right.
The
okay.
Male.
That makes sense. Yes.
And I think it takes a special man to be able to not be, to see that we are a team. It takes a very special man. I'm lucky enough that I've been blessed with one now, but, you know, for me, it's still kind of, it's new. It's
mm-hmm.
new because I still personally am, I'm how best to put this, I'm used to someone not wanting to do the dance with me. So I'm learning how to dance with this person because they're willing to let me be me, independent, thinking, whatever I am. They accept me the way I am. So I don't have to tone down anything because they are sure of themselves and who they are as a man. I don't
mm-hmm.
have to step back. But I'm willing to step, I'm willing to submit, I'll put it that way. That's the word, best way. I'm willing to submit because I know I can be me all the time.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
That makes perfect sense.
And I think you're trying to say in a sense.
Well, I just want to echo off of both of you because I feel like I transitioned in my life that, you know, when I first got married, and I got married like in 19, and I've been married two times, not proud of that, but it is what it is. I was very career focused, very driven, and I think that as I became more educated like Kathy, that really, you know, it was hard for him because I didn't look up to him like I used to do the same things as Kathy. But what I found is that as I've gotten older, is it for a woman, it's to be powerful and beautiful, but the key is to find a man that is just powerful and beautiful, and like you said, that knows how to compliment you, and that we're not competing. Half of my life, I feel like I've been competing with men, and now that I'm older, I'm learning to compliment a man, and it's still a learning process for me.
So, ladies, in the last 5 or 6 minutes of our show, how would you suggest that we increase the synchrony in Black relationships? How can we make the dance more smooth and rhythmic in our society? Linda?
Well, I feel like in our society, first of all, we have to promote the family as a unit. I feel like that is of the utmost importance for our culture. And secondly, we have to empower our young men that they can be scientists and engineers and lawyers and doctors as well as football players, and that we don't have to fit into a mold, but we can just be, and we can be all of ourselves, powerful and great as we are as a people. So I think, and then in a relationship, that we empower couples to have healthy boundaries and healthy relationships that empower each other, and nobody has to play small. We're great together.
Great. How about you, Kathy?
I think when we succeeded as a people, it was because we had the village mentality. We all pulled each other up. We all took care of the men and the children and imparted ourselves into them so that they could know that they had support. And I think if we bring more of the village back in and put God first, then we're going to succeed as a people. But when we take God out and we take the village away, we fail, and we're failing now.
I agree. How about you, Keisha?
Well, I would say in order to promote that, I think, you know, it's as simple as saying we need to practice. Like, we need to be in more, you know, we need to embrace relationships, embrace, you know, the family as a unit, you know. And that's the only way, you know, that we can develop, you know, and get better and, you know, work on our relationships and make that a part of what our children, you know, see. Families, relationships, marriages, all of those things that God wants for us to see. It's just as simple as, you know, promotion and practice, to me, are probably the two things that I would say will help us dance more, you know, smoothly and be more in sync as far as relationships.
I think also we need to place more of an emphasis on the talents of both partners. Even though they may be different, every talent is appreciated, and we need to start uplifting the black men as well as the black women to reach their full potential and embrace their talents and not back down and be the person who they were meant to be in the eyes of our ancestors, in the eyes of God, in the eyes of, you know, themselves. So if we can embrace our people as a whole, if we can embrace the talents and unique attributions and unique contributions that we bring to the table, that we can increase the synchrony of our dance and be more effective partners as a whole. Amen.
So,
all right, and that was the Life and Times of Miss Independent on Soul in the City. I hope you enjoyed this time, and I hope we brought some enlightening conversation to your day. Do you ladies have anything else you'd like to say? Anyone?
No, just enjoyed the conversation. I think you did a great job as the host.
Very good, Chastity.
And Keisha, you
thank
are an awesome
for having
dynamic
me
woman.
Thank you, Miss Kathy. Same to you.
Yeah, you guys are dynamic young women, and you make us all, well, I'm not older, I'm sassy. You make us all
how old are you?
Well,
do you have a boyfriend, Keisha?
I do, actually. Yeah, I do now. After
darn
6 years of being single, I actually can say I have a boyfriend, and he's a good one. So,
well, I'm happy
I'm
for
happy
him, but I was looking. Man.
I think I might. I can have some other single friends.
Keep that in mind. Pass it on.
I will.
Well, everyone, that'll be City Saturday Night Edition. We'll go out in song with Chrisette Michelle's Best of Me.
Oh, I love that song.
And good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Now you look at a high love, crossing the wall with your lady. I got your eyes on the fly up. I noticed you know her ring. I can smile, you can smile, will wish it. I put away my design. much wiser. Or that'll be just me. I'm trying hard to blow. Yeah. I'm trying hard to sleep. Yeah. Promise I'm glad you're happy. When is my time in the beat? Loved you, loved you, thought I did you all the best of me. We said, parted, broken hearted, I need to be free. What we had was so long, tell me I'll smile on my face. It's my time to find the friends of me.
All the best of me. Yeah.